Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. Today, considering the launch of your own tech startup, we'll have tips from a guy who's done it after this. And when shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org, because helping business grow is pure Michigan. Interested in building your own tech startup? Here's some guidance from a guy who's done it. His name is Liam Martin, co-founder and chief marketing officer for both TimeDoctor.com and Staff.com. Liam, how did you wind up launching these two?
Actually, me and my co-founder, Rob, I personally had an interesting problem on my hands. My previous company was an online tutoring company. So I had built these online tutors, and I remember actually the reason why that happened is I was teaching a class at McGill University up in Montreal, Canada, and recognized that graduate school was not the direction that I wanted to go or being a professor. So I actually turned it into a tutoring company. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest problems that I had was all of these students that I was working with, and then the tutors that I was working with, the student would come back and say, hey, you billed me for 10 hours, and I actually only worked with the tutor for 5, and then I'd have to go to the tutor and say, hey, did you work with a student for 10 hours? And they'd say yes. So I would end up having to refund the student for 5 hours and pay the tutor for the full 10 hours, and that was kind of destroying the business. So we had built these two companies to be able to specifically manage remote teams and figure out how much time people are spending remotely. So that's what we do. We have 82 employees in 28 different countries right now, our personal companies, and we manage them using Staff.com and Time Doctor to figure out exactly what they're doing throughout their workday. So that was the initial point for me, the pain point that really brought me to building these types of companies.
What would you say was the niche that you filled?
For us, it's really being able to manage what a remote team is doing. So I don't know if you've noticed, but remote work is definitely a more popular option in the current workforce. I believe people under the age of 35, that's one of their top requests in terms of working arrangements, being able to work remote. So there's a big problem connected to that too, which is what are your people actually doing when they're working from home or working from another country? That kind of stuff. So we solve that problem because we have an application on an employee's computer so that they can start and stop tracking time and then measure not just how long they've worked, but how productively they've worked. And that's fundamentally what we do with Time Doctor and Staff.
Very good. So what do you recommend to others then as we talk more broadly here about, say, building your tech startup? If this is something someone wants to get into, what do you normally advise?
You know, for me in the last year, it's been quite interesting because we've started to accelerate quite quickly as a company. I was talking with another fantastic tech founder. His name is Toby Litke, and he runs a company called Shopify. It actually is a local company here where I'm from in Canada. And he said something that really struck a deep chord with me, which is if you have under 40 employees, you have to do everything yourself. And once you get over 40 employees, you have to do the polar opposite to succeed. So my biggest challenge right now is moving from an entrepreneur to an executive. And those are two very different positions. One is actual execution yourself, going in and cutting a deal, making sure that everything works properly, getting everything to market. And then the second one is getting other people to do those things. So that's been my biggest challenge right now, trying to scale our operations, being able to kind of put people in place that you can really trust that will do the job.
Oh, that's interesting. The 40 employee number is an interesting one.
Yeah, so the number he had was, and it's interesting, it was basically just that five cells that he currently has inside of his team. I believe he has about seven people and then a project manager for each. So he said once you kind of hit those five cell levels, yeah, then you as the CEO or the founder of the company have to then start managing those five people and not talking to the people below in those managers. Yeah. And that's an interesting thing that's been quite difficult for me to solve, because usually if I see a problem showing up, I want to go directly to the problem as quickly as possible, and yeah, recognizing that taking that energy away from a manager makes that manager not trust you, or makes the employee look like they have two bosses, when in reality they have one boss. I'm supposed to talk to the manager, not to the direct employee.
Got it. So does that mean at times you might see yourself as a micromanager or control freak? Are you trying to break away from that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you're running a business and we're a bootstrapped company, and we've never, in the first couple of years of a business, you want to be able to make sure that everyone gets their salary and you're able to, you know, scrape enough money together at the end of the day to eat at night.
Yeah.
So you're very scrappy and you make sure that everything happens. Now, just to kind of release yourself from that stress is a difficult process, that tension. So I'm going through that process now. I'm actually a lot better at it than I was about a year ago, but it's still been a big challenge up until this point.
Well, we're speaking with Liam Martin. He's the co-founder of TimeDoctor.com as well as Staff.com. He's the CMO of both as well, and we're talking about building tech startups. So I'm curious, did you launch these companies or found these companies with a particular direction in mind and then realized the customers wanted something else and you zigged where you thought you initially were going to zag?
Yes. So, I mean, not to necessarily get too technical on it, but I'm presupposing if your readers are interested in tech startups, they do know a little bit of the terminology. So we initially started Staff.com as a two-sided marketplace. So a company like Uber is a two-sided marketplace. You have drivers and you have people that want to be driven. So for Staff.com, we had employers and employees, and what we were going to do is match those people up. So that ended up being a massive failure definitely a failure on our part. And what we recognized is within a year, we were over $1 million in sales. So we were doing quite well as a company on the staff.com side within that first year of business. But then we said to ourselves, well, let's scale this. Let's see how much farther we can go. And what we weren't recognizing was the underlying churn rate. And churn is basically the amount of customers that leave your service on a yearly or monthly basis.
Yeah.
So what we weren't detecting was that there was an 11% monthly churn rate underneath that data. So that meant that the average customer only stayed with us for 9 months. In comparison, regular SaaS products, if you have a 5% churn rate, you're in big trouble. So we continue to scale this business, not recognizing that underlying problem. And within the first year, we went from nothing to about $86,000 a month. And then the second year, we went from $86,000 to, I believe, about $101,000. So we went from extreme growth to almost a triple of growth, and recognized that it's a great $1 million business, but it isn't. It's a very difficult $10 million business, and it's probably almost an impossible $100 million business.
Wow.
So we changed that, and that was actually easily a $5 million mistake that we implemented. Now we survived that, obviously, and we're able to now kind of look back at that and talk about it. But it's one of those things that when you put your full focus and energy into it for 2 years, you get a little. That's a little bit of a difficult pill to swallow.
Right, right. So have you improved the churn rate as part of your learning process?
So we killed the company. So we actually killed that version of the software. We're no longer a two-sided marketplace. We actually just implemented the software component, which our customers were loving, and went with that, which is managing remote employees, being able to measure how long they work remotely.
Wow. Okay.
So we actually killed the two-sided marketplace, and it really comes down to minimum viable product and trying to figure out what customers are really interested in, sometimes you'll see a kind of kernel of just these customers really loving this one feature. And then you can say, well, could I turn that actually into a product?
Yeah, yeah.
Am I looking forest for the trees type of thing? Am I just not focusing on what's really important, which was to us, one of those things that we had to analyze the data for such a long time and talk to customers before we could get a good idea of what the heck is going on and moving into something that we thought initially was insane.
So given this sort of maybe micro trend these days of tracking employee productivity through embedded chips, say under their skin and their hands or something, how does that measure up or compete with what you do?
You know what? That is probably not going to be... I personally would not bet on that as the future. And I'll tell you why. The speed by which we're currently moving is amazing in terms of mobile technology. So why would I inject a direct chip into someone's body when instead I have their mobile device? Google knows everything I'm currently doing right now. Google knows exactly when I'm at work, when I'm at home, how long it takes me to go from work to home. It knows that I like to go to a particular coffee shop at a regular time. It has all that data. The pipe is there. You can literally implement exactly the same technology on every mobile device, and you're not going to need to install a chip to be able to make that happen. The other part on top of that is, on top of just a single chip embedded inside of someone's skin, when you look at a mobile device, you're getting so many other API calls that you could implement to get other type of data. So you can get their social footprint. You can get their browsing history.
Yeah.
And then if you combine that with artificial intelligence, you've got an amazing tool that you can use to be able to basically predict anything in terms of that employee. So to me, the chip idea is kind of interesting. And I think there's also the other barrier of, how would you convince an employee to inject a chip inside of someone, you know, inside of them? I don't think that would work very well.
Right. Either a big signing bonus or a long-term contract for employment.
Exactly.
Yeah. So circle back to your particular company here and how you guys market yourself. What's most effective for you?
So we define ourselves as a time analytics solution. So if you have a team that's remote or even a team that's in the office, what we can do is tell you exactly what that team did. We also do other stuff with, let's say, as an example, artificial intelligence. So one of the things that we're currently working on is we can tell you when one of your employees will quit, about 6 months out.
Wow.
So I know with an 89% accuracy rate, this employee will quit within 6 months. And then you can come in and try to figure out, is this someone that I want to keep? Is this somebody I don't want to keep? If it's someone I want to keep, then I want to be able to work on that relationship to figure out why they want to go and try to address that issue so that you don't have basically employees quitting when they shouldn't be.
How about marketing from, say, a commercial standpoint? Do you like social media to promote yourself, a traditional advertising? Do you do any of that?
We do all of that. I would say a great book is Traction. It's called The Traction Book. Identifies 26 different channels for tech startups and just sort of identifies best practices in all of them. And we implement about 8 or 9 of those different channels. So SEO, social media, pay-per-click advertising, email marketing, everything you could possibly think of, basically we try to do. And to me, it's... if you're successful in one channel, it's kind of a fluke. But if you're successful in 5 or 6, then you have a business. Because one of these days, that channel could absolutely disappear, and then you're going to be in big trouble.
Thanks, Liam. Liam Martin, co-founder and chief marketing officer for both TimeDoctor.com and Staff.com. The powerful performance and incredible battery life of new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors empower small business employees to do their best work wherever work takes them. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors and price match guarantee mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution tailored to your business needs. Powerful PCs are just the beginning of a great partnership. Call 877-BUY-DELL now to contact a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report is found on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com, as well as on places like iTunes and SoundCloud. Those are also places where you can hear our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Also, if you'd like to share your small business story, just like Liam Martin did, I'd like to hear it. Free publicity for you, inspiration and tips for others. You can email me at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. That's gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.